Good morning, Living Hope.
Good morning.
Great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Are you strapped in, ready to go? I hope so. Got a very poignant word for you this morning. You know, my message is going to be about retaliation. Sometimes we call that backlash, right? Whether you do something good for somebody or you do something not good for somebody, somebody wants to get back at you. And this is what's starting to now reoccur in our culture. This idea where, you know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And I'll tell you, it's right from the pit of hell, because that's the tactic that the devil uses. You know, oh, you think you're going to love Jesus? Oh, you think you're going to serve Jesus? Well, wait till you see what I'm going to throw your way. Now, we've just passed the Hebrew calendar month, the 9th of Av, which we know is a major turning point in our Jewish calendar, but of all the events that took place on that month, things that have been shaken and turned. Jeannie and I never make any decisions a few weeks before the 9th of Av. We don't travel, we don't make any plans. And once we pass this point, it's now that we start to be able to focus on all the things that God has for us. Those promises now start to come back into focus. And, you know, as we're going through that 9th of Av, that time period, I don't know about any of you, but has anyone been feeling or seeing or experiencing craziness happening around you in your lives? Has it just been kind of crazy these last couple of weeks? And there is a battle that's raging. And this battle is being felt in the seven mountains of influence. It is a battle for righteousness. It is a battle against evil. It's not red versus blue. It's not me against you. It is literally a battle in the spiritual realm for righteousness, good against evil. And that is happening. We hear of battles right now all around the world. We hear, and we're aware of these battles, but it just seems like they're so far away that they really don't affect our day-to-day life. We hear what's going on in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, all of these countries, you know, the Strait of Hormuz, the Gaza Strip. We hear all of these things, but for some reason, because it's over there, it doesn't affect our lives here. And yet, those same battles that are taking place, there are things here in our own country that are taking place underground, behind the shadows. Yet when the battle of retaliation hits home, this retaliation seems like a personal attack. Isn't it funny that we can hear about a whole bunch of things that are going on? We can see it. We can hear it. We see it in other people's lives. But when it hits our house, do you notice how different it affects you? And here is where we need to be prepared. When we experience spiritual retaliation, we must not embrace anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness. For we must remember that the battle is the Lord's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask not just for more information, but revelation. For revelation brings transformation. Lord, we want to be transformed this morning, that we would be prepared and ready. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the last several weeks, I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit and our preparation for the battle that rages around us. And as long as we as Christians live on this earth, we will be engaged in war. This is not a physical war, although the enemy tries to make us think this, but it is a spiritual war. The Word of God states in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. You see, the battle is real. We see it. We feel it. And many of us personally experience it. It's different for everybody. Something that might take me out or bother me may not bother you at all. Because the enemy has certain weapons that he wants to use targeted for you. He's ticked, and there's going to be a retaliation, a spiritual retaliation against you and your family. You have to be prepared. It's that next level. You see, the battle is real. But somehow, the battle is different when the retaliation is personal. And because it's personal, it easily becomes distraction that pulls us away from the things of God. Have you ever noticed that somebody could tick you off and you just think about that thing the whole time? And you forget about the things you're supposed to do? You forget about the people you were supposed to meet. You forget about the things you were supposed to take care of because that thing, that one incident, becomes a distraction. It pulls us away from the things of God. And these distractions can be experienced in many ways. So I started to sit down and think about, okay, how can these experiences be labeled? So here we go. And this is just a few. There's so much more. I got rid of half the list. But these distractions can be experienced many ways. Feeling hurt. Easily being offended. Feeling unappreciated. Lack of thanksgiving. Feeling as though we have been manipulated. Unexplained fear or irritation. The tendency to lash out or react impulsively. An obsession with past hurts or grievances, a desire for revenge, feeling of guilt, shame, or being inadequate, having anger or resentment towards others. The list goes on. Have you ever experienced any of those? Right? Thank you for your honesty. Right? These are the distractions of spiritual retaliation. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says this, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." This spiritual retaliation is against the bride of Christ. Don't take it personal. It's good against evil. It's fighting for righteousness. And this battle, it's around the world. You can see it everywhere. But what about your home? What about your family? Are you ready? How do you know? What has been your preparation? I want you to think about that because many times until we're in a situation, we don't know if we've been prepared. I could tell you right now, I've lost some weight. Thank you for noticing. I'm physically fit, but that would be an understatement. My body's tired. Weary and has issues, but I won't let it stop me. I say every day, all the cells in my body are lining up, all the muscles in my back are relaxing. I just speak that every single day Because you know what? If you speak it enough, your body starts waking up to the fact that you have the power to speak life or death over your own body. How many of you go, oh, I feel terrible. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, I got this cramp. Oh, I got this. Oh, I can't walk. Oh, I... Have a nice day. Don't tell me what to do. Okay. Yeah. How do we know that we're prepared? How do you know you're prepared? Because I know in my life, I've run, like I said earlier this morning, I ran to go out of my tree stand to get there and then realized that I left something back in the car. I've driven to school so focused to get there that I left my keys to the office at home. I've been in such a hurry, I left my phone, and I left it. Nothing good on that. But how do you know you're ready? How do we prepare? Do we call Pastor? Do we call Jeannie? Or do we wait for Sunday? Now listen, those aren't bad in themselves. But God is calling us to a greater preparation for a greater battle which is at hand. If we understand that God is calling us to a greater place of preparation, we got to do it now. We got to do it now. How do athletes prepare? Training. What if you're going to run a marathon? You just decide that day to go run it? Oh, you laugh. I did that once. I did, yeah. Oh, I ran without stopping and I finished, but I was not in a good physical shape when we were done. So what about if you're a gymnast? What about a triathlete? Do you train for a week? A month? Some of them, it's a lifetime. Do you know that Olympian athletes train for 4 years for one shot? 4 years every day. When I first got my first teaching job, one of the students that was at our school was Nancy Kerrigan, who was the figure skater. And every morning, she was in the ice skating rink, skating and skating and skating. She was kind of like homeschooled. They'd bring her stuff like that. But it's every day. Every single day. Can I give you a little hint? Anyone striving to be the best at something pursues it every day. What can I tell you? You see, preparation does not show its results in the preparation. Preparation produces results for the battle. We only know we have prepared properly when we're in the battle. You could tell me that you're all set. You know, I've talked to military guys who have done military training. And they tell you, you know, it's different when you're on the battlefield and they're throwing a hand grenade at you. You see, it's in it that you find out whether you've been prepared. Many times you go through military training and you go, why am I doing this? Why am I carrying this backpack on my back 20 miles in the rain? Oh, well, I only fight in good weather. Really? Taking their guns apart and putting them together in pitch darkness? Right? Preparation does not show its results in the preparation. Don't you think that because you're preparing, you're all set? Preparation produces results for a battle, for the thing that's coming in your life. That's why some of you get caught off guard because something comes in your life, you didn't prepare for it. And then it takes you out. We only know we prepared properly when in the battle. Amen? Each of us will find ourselves having to be engaged in war one way or another. You can't avoid this. You can't hide. You can't be like an ostrich and stick your head in the sand, because then the enemy just comes and kicks you in the butt. You'll get that visual later. Demonic retaliation is simply the enemy waging a war against you in response to a war that you have waged against him. That is why we must train our spiritual man to be alert. This is why it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Are you looking? Are you waiting? Tony and I were at the restaurant, and one of the things that we talked about, we were kind of juggling about who was going to sit where, because I never sit with my back to the door. Ever. I'm always got to have an eye. Who's coming in? Who's going out? Who potentially could do something? The Bible tells us also to resist the power of the devil. This is not done in our own strength, but by the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get our power. Facing spiritual retaliation can be overwhelming, but remember that it's a sign of your significant impact. If you didn't matter, you wouldn't matter. Your efforts and progress threaten the enemy's plans, and that's why you face increased resistance. Take heart, for you are not alone in the battle. Now, I tell you that because there are people right here in this congregation who have spiritual gifts. And I'm not going to mention names. I'm going to stare at the ceiling so that nobody goes, oh, he was looking at me. But there will be something that happens in your life, a distraction that takes you out and you no longer affected in your gifts or ministry. And Satan goes, good, they're off the map for another month. And just when you get your head back together, he'll trip you up somewhere else. And the problem is, there are people right here that have the gift of healing. The gifts of laying on hands and praying for people. There are some people in this room that have the gift of prophecy. I already know who you are. The Lord's already told me. Well, Lord, should I tell them? No, they know. But when they finally get to the place where they won't let the distractions distract them anymore, you will be the voice to confirm what I've already told to them. And some of you here, I've already told you stuff that I never even knew. I just told you, and you said, how do you know that? I've never told anybody that. As the Lord just told me to tell you. It's a confirmation in your life that God's waiting for you to be part of the army to be used. But if you always get distracted by the spiritual retaliation in your life, you're impotent. And then you wonder, what's the purpose in my life? And where's the direction? And how come this? And how come that? And the answer is, you've been distracted. Take heart. You're not alone in the battle. Now, I tell you that because a lot of times those of us who lead, we feel like we're alone. I felt it many times, over and over, but it won't stop me from leading. I'm reminded of Mark Twain, and this is what Mark Twain said. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is, well, that's not it. Ace is Ace Cares. What did I write over here? In the beginning, that's what I wrote. That's not it, though. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is, well, we'll just say man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. It's on my phone, but I won't go get it. Anyways. Oh, is a scarce. Man, there it is. Sorry about that. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. You see, if God's called you to lead, you lead. It doesn't matter if people are following. But you'll find out that when the victory has been taken, they'll all be a patriot with you. They'll all say, your cause was important. And you want to say, where were you when we were fighting the battle? You see, it's easy when the victory has already taken place because it cost you nothing. Being a Christian patriot is truly a warrior for Christ. Wait and see how many will come alongside of you after the battle is won. Why do I think this kingdom to the counties is so important? Because it's a battle for the souls of men and women, for families and for children. No denomination, no church, no person. It's about Jesus Christ. That's it, period, done. And some people think, oh, well, you're crazy. Oh, they're this. But you know what? Don't you worry. Because when the truth is revealed, it's the same thing what's going on around the world. I could give you stories of stuff that the media has not publicized. You go, well, where did you find that? Come and see me later and I'll tell you. And we see these battles that are raging, but we only see what media wants to teach us or show us or propagate. Our preparation for the battle of retaliation is spiritual preparation. You cannot get caught by surprise because you will be taken out. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. This divine power is given to us by the authority of Jesus Christ. He gives us the power and authority. He tells us that all things that he's done will do even greater things. Many of you might be asking yourself, well, why does this battle seem to be just affecting me? Why am I having these issues? But Joe isn't having that issue. Why is Judy having that issue? But Callie isn't having that issue. You might be asking yourself that. Experiencing obstacles when you are striving for spiritual growth, pursuing a divine purpose, isn't necessarily a bad thing. On the contrary, such resistance can be a clear indication that you're on the right track and have touched a nerve in the spiritual realm. The devil targets those who possess a threat to his agenda, which means your progress is making an impact. I had the privilege to be written up again in another article calling me a Christian nationalist. Thank you. Yeah. Christian means I love Jesus, and I do. And a nationalist means I love my country. So I don't think there's anything wrong with either of those. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." As I stated earlier, preparation does not show its results in the preparation. Preparation produces the results for the battle, and we know we have prepared properly when in the battle. Amen? Many of you might be asking yourself, why does this battle seem to be just affecting me? Experiencing obstacles when you are striving for spiritual growth, pursuing a divine purpose, isn't necessarily a bad thing. And there are things in our life, and so here as I'm coming to a closing here, there are things in our life that keep us from the relationship we need to have with Jesus. Now, I'm trying to get you prepared spiritually because I'm telling you, you are going to feel the effects of this in the next several weeks. Okay, this is not like just some fluffy thing. This is something that the Lord put on my heart. And those of you who were at the Kingdom of the Counties, you saw me writing this. This is not like made up. This is I was in a beautiful place that God could just download. And I couldn't write fast enough. So I know that the Lord is sharing this because of what is coming, to prepare you. But there are things in our life that are keeping us from a relationship we need to have with Jesus. Those things, even if they are small as they may seem to us, are a hindrance to your preparation. And those things in your life need to be shattered. And when those things are finally shattered, broken, no longer controlling us, we should not spend our time putting the pieces together. Do you understand? Once God takes something and shatters it, we're not to be sitting there going like, oh, well, this was when I was younger. I used to do this. And then, oh, and that was the relationship I had. Did you get some extra glue? Do you know people that are living trying to put the shattered pieces of their lives together so that they can have a life, apparently? And all they do is live in the past trying to pick up broken pieces, wondering why they're getting cut, why they're still hurt, why nothing in their life has changed. And when those things are finally shattered, you see, God is not calling us to pick up the broken pieces of our lives and take the time, find all the little pieces that are missing, put them all back together. Our preparation in the Lord will allow God to make you new. Our preparation in the Lord, that was a good place to say amen. Let's rewind that. Our preparation in the Lord will allow God to make you new. You know what I like about the Word of God? It doesn't say, I take you and I fix you. I fix the broken you. It doesn't say that. It says, I make you new. I make you new. So why do we gravitate to all the past bad habits? Why do we gravitate to all the things that got us in trouble in the first place? Why, when God made you anew, when you accepted Him, do you go back there? Because it's a retaliation, a spiritual retaliation. Scripture says that He's not fixing the broken pieces of your life. That when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God is not calling us to pick up the broken pieces of our lives and take the time finding the pieces and putting them back together. Our preparation in the Lord will allow God to make you anew. The Scripture says that He is not fixing the broken pieces of your life. A lot of us here struggle with that. See, we're living in the past and we miss out on the present and then we don't have a future. But Christ said, I came so that you could have a future. I paid the price for the past. And when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He makes all things new. So here we go. These are your things. If you're going to write down your points today, here we go. So how do you prepare for the battle of retaliation which is upon us? Number one, stop living in the past and receive the new you. Stop living in the past. Your past is like the rearview mirror of your car. Your future is the front window. It's huge, it's big, it's open, all the things you can see. But if you stare in the rearview mirror while you're driving, your life is going to have an accident. So then why is it there? It's there just to remind you where you came from. By God's grace, I'm not in that past. Receive the new you. Number two. Let God's word be your foundation. Too many of us take our word as truth, and then we take God's word and we go, well, let me think about it. How's that working for you so far? You understand? What God is saying is that let my word be your foundation. I'm just going to tell you, when I follow this, my life goes pretty good. But when I make my own choices and my own decisions, it can be a bumpy road. Ever been there? That's the reason why. Number three, stop trying to demand your way in what God has called you to do. Can I give you a secret? I'm going to whisper it so that you know. You're not in charge. He is. If you want to drive, he'll let you do it. But I'll tell you that the journey is going to be long, tiresome, and filled with a lot of potholes. You see, so many of us want God to tell them, what's their purpose in life? What's the direction in life? What's God calling you to do? And then when he tells you, you go, all right, but I'm going to do it my way. And God goes, we'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Yoo-hoo. How many of your life has just been around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain, and you never seem to get to the top of the mountain because you want to do it your way and you won't let God do it his way? He'll tell you the wonderful things that he has planned for you, and then you step in and go, hey, okay, God, let me tell you how it's going to go down here. You see, okay, I accept that blessing, but we're going to do it my way. I'm sorry if that accent offended anybody. I don't know where that came from. No offense, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Number four. This is a kicker. Stop being spiritually anorexic. Stop being spiritually anorexic. Okay? I don't know how this one got there. That's like the next one, but that's okay. Some of the slide got goofed up. How many of you take care of your body? You feed it. You went to school, so you take care of your mind. But you don't take care of yourself spiritually. And you're anorexic. You're working on two of three cylinders. You're riding a tricycle without a wheel. And we laugh about that, but you know what? That's why our life is the way that it is. And why this retaliation is just hitting us every time it can. Because we're anorexic. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, direct you, and give you discernment. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you, give you discernment. The last one is this. Surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to say this, your way, Lord, and not my way. Do you know how hard that is for some people to say? Your way, Lord, not my way. Holy Spirit, guide my steps that all that I say and do would honor you. And then here's the last part of that one. Be obedient. You know, we have this thing when I teach school, just because the teacher teaches doesn't mean the student learned it. Just because you understand, surrender to the lead of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then wants to lead you and guide you, you can, you know, say no. You can ignore it. And I'll tell you, we need to be obedient to his ways. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Psalm 24:8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Ooh. No, you see, our God is a loving God. You know what? In the Bible, there's so many scriptures about battle and killing. And I mean, no. It's all about love. Okay. Who is this King of? Who is this King of glory? I love that song. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Spiritual retaliation is a reality for anyone making strides in their spiritual journey. For anyone who's making strides in their spiritual journey, there's going to be spiritual retaliation from the devil. Don't you think that because you made a decision for Christ, he's going to go, oh, well, I guess I should back off from them. Because, see, the sad part is he knows the calling that God has on your life, and he knows the effect that you're going to have for the kingdom. You just don't know. And if he can keep you from it, there's one less warrior he has to worry about. Recognize these obstacles as affirmations that you're on the right path. Strengthen your resolve through consistent prayer and rely on God's word to guide you and protect you. We must always remember that we fight from victory, not for victory. Amen. Christ has already won the battle. The battle of retaliation against the bride of Christ is just like every other battle. Our preparation in the Lord will allow God to make a new you. Great is your influence. Bet you didn't know that. Great is your impact. Your efforts and progress threaten the enemy's plans. Take heart, for you are not alone in this battle. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, in your love, mercy, and grace, we claim the precious blood of Jesus and the freedom that the blood has given us. We know that we are now faced with the spiritual battle of retaliation. Holy Spirit, strengthen us and guide us through this journey. Let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us not be distracted from the things of God and the purposes and the plans that he has for each one of us. Let us be strong and courageous, pressing forward for the heart of our King and the kingdom. Let our weapons of warfare not be those of the flesh, but let our warfare be that of divine power. For the battle is the Lord's, and we will be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And before we go this morning, oh, you give the Lord a hand clap. Because this is so on my heart, I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand up. And I have a decree for you this morning, a decree, and declare this together. Here we go. Together. Lord, I decree and declare that I will stop living in the past. I choose my new identity found in you. I decree and declare that your word is my foundation and I will have a biblical worldview. I decree and declare that you are in charge. I will no longer demand my way in what you have called me to do. I decree and declare that there is a spiritual element to my being and I will stop being spiritually anorexic. I decree and declare that I will allow the Holy Spirit to guide me, direct me, and birth greater discernment in my life. I decree and declare that I will surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, being obedient to his leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope this morning you are understanding that God is preparing us for the next thing, for the next thing, and it's going to require a greater preparation. We cannot be successful on yesterday's preparation. We need to prepare now for what's coming ahead. Amen. God bless you, and shalom.